Some of you may have noticed that I like to use song titles as sermon titles. You've heard it. You know Steven Tyler. Aerosmith, isn't it? I don't know. The world tends to take holy things and make them unholy. So I don't know why once in a while we can't take something that may be a little unholy and redeem it. Turn it into something good. Why not? And really, the word, the title, Walk This Way, is a pretty good idea of discipleship. It's Jesus telling us, walk this way, follow me. That's what he said to almost everyone he met. Follow me. Walk this way. Let's walk together. I like that, and I think that's a good theology, to walk this way. And so I'm going to share some scriptures with you today that are about walking with Jesus. Let's begin with Mark 8, the gospel lesson for today. That is Mark 8, 31 through 38. If you'll follow me there, I'll give you a moment to find it. Jesus is beginning to teach his disciples that his time is short. Now, as you're looking for that text, you probably already know this, but Mark itself is short. This is halfway. This says Mark 8 here, but that's halfway through Mark. Mark's is the shortest gospel. It's the most urgent one. It's one with the most pithy sayings, the one with the most most urgent meanings. So Jesus is beginning to prepare his disciples for what must come and what will come during the season of Lent as we walk to the cross. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, the human one, or the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then after 3 days to rise from the dead. That's a big sentence right there. A lot of events. He said it plainly and succinctly. But Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. And Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and then sternly corrected Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts. Peter must have been afraid that this wasn't going to play well. And he was trying to talk Jesus out of it and say, you surely don't mean this, Jesus. Going on with the reading, after calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, all who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news of the gospel will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their own lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful generation and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he comes in the Father's glory with the holy angels. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus said, walk this way, follow me, knowing fully that he was headed to the cross. You might say he didn't want to go alone. Or you might say he was preparing the disciples for what was ahead for them as well. Many of them lost their lives, as you know, all of them died. But some of them lost their lives violently, as Jesus did. And he was preparing them for that, but there's more to it than that. He was preparing them to give up something. And to adjust their lives, to modify themselves, to follow Jesus, which would be their true calling. Jesus was saying, walk this way. Walk like this. Walk boldly, knowing that God is with you. And walk with confidence, knowing that God will bring you through, even through death and dying. Jesus knew that with confidence. He knew what He faced, and He knew that there was suffering, but He also knew that He would go beyond it. And I think Jesus calls us to follow the same path. Traditionally, Christians have given up something for Lent. During the Lenten season, we give up something to remind us of sacrifice, because maybe we have a craving for a certain candy item, or for some other food that we give up, or from some luxury that we might give up. We have an incomplete sense of craving for that if we have given something up in that sort of way. Maybe Jesus wants us to do that. I don't know. I don't think that's what He said. But I think He said, walk with Me and know that I'm going to the cross, and that I am calling you to follow Me to the cross. Walk like this, and let's go together. Jesus called people to walk all throughout His ministry. As we take a little tour of some of those, I'd like to point out John 1:36. It's the verses in 36 where Jesus says, where Jesus talks about walking with Him. And I'm going to read a little bit more than that. I'm going to start with 35. It says, the next day John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The other disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. Come with me and see where I'm staying. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he went and found his brother, Simon. Andrew was the first one called. And he went and found his brother, Simon Peter, and said to him, we've found the Messiah. And they both became followers of the Lord. Jesus was known as the Lamb of God. That means that we follow Him with worship. We follow Him with honor and glory as we sing praise to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's about worship. But Jesus also used the term walking when He was talking about healing. Later in John, in 5, chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus is by the pool, and there's a man there who has, this pool is known for healing, and if the man could just get into the pool, he would be healed of his disability and he would be able to walk again. But Jesus sees him lying there and realizes that the man doesn't even have the initiative to get in the water. And when Jesus saw him there, he said, do you really want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to help me get in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps in ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. And at once the man was made well and took up his mat and began to walk with Jesus. That is a different kind of walking. But it is a walking that brings healing, and it is a walking that brings a confidence in Jesus' ability to heal when you obey When Jesus says, walk this way, and you follow Him, there's good in it. There are good things, good results, good outcomes in it. Perhaps even a healing. Perhaps even for you. In another instance, walking on the water was the display of a miraculous gift that Jesus offered. That's a little farther along in 6:16. That's not John 6:16. That must be one of the other Gospels. I wrote that wrong. But it's Jesus walking on the water, and when the disciples came to find Him on as the sun was dying in the west and the evening was falling, they found Jesus walking on the water. It takes courage to do what Peter did. Peter said, let me come to you, Lord. And Jesus said, you've got to step out of the boat if you're going to walk on the water. Peter was trembling. He did it. And he did it in the power of Christ. He walked on the water too because of Jesus' command. And when Peter became afraid, he began to slip and fall and to slip into the swirling waters. But Jesus reached a strong arm and pulled him to safety. Talk to him about courage. Talk to him about following Jesus, even when it means doing something risky, like stepping out of the boat. Even when it means doing something ridiculous, like walking on the surface of the water. Jesus said, come to me. There was an encouragement and a hope. A little further over in John, in 12, Jesus says, walk in the light. He says, how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? And this is the crowd speaking. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus says to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Speaking of Himself. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overcome you. If you walk in darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light. Jesus was saying, while I'm with you, you have me as an example. Walk with me. Walk in the light. Walk in my glow. Believe in the light so that you may become children of the light. That's an encouragement to follow Jesus, to walk in the pathway that Jesus is walking. There's one last passage, we'll jump to Acts, that I'd like to share with you. It's from Acts 3, where Peter and John were going up to the temple. Now we're moving. We're making a significant movement from Jesus doing miracles to Jesus empowering the church through the Holy Spirit to do miracles as well. To Peter and John. Peter and John were on the way up to the temple for the hour of prayer. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from his birth was being carried in there at the gate. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, so that he would ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go in, he asked them for alms. And Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And Peter took him by the hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet were made strong. See, Peter had known the grasp of Jesus' hand pulling him up out of the water. and into the safety of the boat. And now Peter is passing along that grace to another person in need and lifting him, pulling him up. "Take my hand," he says. "Get up and walk." The walk of faith is profound. The term walking in faith or walking with Christ or a spiritual walk or spiritual journey is profound. It implies movement. It implies progress. It implies destination. And once we've reached that destination, we pass that leadership off to others and call them to walk as well. Call them to walk and call others to walk. A spiritual journey is what Jesus calls us to, and it goes way beyond crucifixion. Jesus said, "Walk with me." And he knew where he was going. He was walking to Jerusalem, where his earthly physical life would end, and where he could call his followers beyond that life into the life of hope of the future, into the life of resurrection, when he said, walk with me, walk in the light. We have a great hymn in our hymnal called, "I Want Jesus to Walk with Me." Through my trials, through my struggles, through every pathway I walk, I want to walk with Jesus, and I want Jesus to walk with me. I hope that you're on that kind of a journey this Lent. As we walk to the cross, we know that we die a little bit all along the way, and that we see a little bit of resurrection all along the way when our eyes are open to it and we are ready. Let us walk. And let us walk with the Lord. Today, as we come to this table, you're invited to take in the gift of Jesus within your body, to take it in within your soul and spirit, and to literally walk here, to walk with Him, and carry Him with you to walk on your journey this week and this Lent and beyond. Amen.